In your Bibles, if you would turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 6. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. Verse 38, "For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." And all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to sing songs that exalt and glorify the coming of Christ. Thank you for the privilege to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ today. Thank you for the privilege to partake of the symbols of your body and the blood, to remember the sacrifice that Christ made to redeem us from our sins, and thank you for your word that you have given us to strengthen us and to encourage us and to instruct us. We pray, God, that you would be glorified in and through your word, and that you would speak to us through it as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess I have done at least 21 Christmases as pastor. 15 here, 6 in Virginia. And I was thinking this week that I have probably tried to show the Christmas story from almost every angle. From the angle of Joseph, the father, the earthly father, from the angle of Mary, the earthly mother, from the angle of the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon, Elizabeth, one of the angles that we may have not have looked at is the angle from which Christ himself saw Christmas. And I was wondering what Jesus would say about Christmas. What would Jesus deem to be important as we celebrate his birth? And it just so happens that we know what Jesus said about Christmas because it's recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And it is interesting to see what Jesus says about Christmas, and to determine if it's the same thing we say about Christmas. Let me give you three thoughts this morning about Christmas according to Jesus. Number one, let's say some things about the perspective of Christmas from the viewpoint of Christ. He says, "For I come down from heaven." And if we stop there and think about what Christ was saying when he said, "I come down from heaven," we notice a couple of things. Firstly, we have to realize, and we have to come to some sort of understanding of the deity of Jesus Christ. That while Christ inhabits a human body fully, it was God fully. And so when he says, "For I come down from heaven," that necessarily has the implications that Christ did not begin at Bethlehem, but he pre-existed before Bethlehem. And then at Bethlehem, God became flesh. It was the same God that was at perfect peace and perfect happiness when there was nothing but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The same Christ who was part of the creative works of God. This Jesus, this Christ, this God came. And it was not that Jesus came merely in the thoughts of God, but Jesus came in reality and left the splendors and left the glories of heaven to come to earth. He left heaven. That's where God resides. Amen? And he came to earth where man resides. And then we see the direction. He clearly gives us the direction here. I came down from heaven. And if we see that merely as a geographical movement, we've missed what Christ is saying. It certainly is a geographical movement from the heavens to the earth. But it was more than that for God. It was a humbling. It was a stooping. It was God becoming flesh. And I don't want to be irreverent here, but certainly, flesh is inferior to deity. God became something less. He became flesh. And when he became flesh, the one who had never, ever been weak, the one that is almighty and all-powerful, became weak in the flesh. The tireless God became weary in the flesh. The God that needed nothing and no one suddenly had needs in the flesh. So Christ says, "I, Jesus, I came down from heaven." Christmas is about the stooping of God to man. And I would just add this for our contemplation. Salvation is never man rising to the level of God. It is always God stooping to the level of man. I came down from heaven. Is that our perspective of Christmas? When we think about Christmas, is that what we term to be Christmas, and that solely? What is Christmas? Not this and that, but one thing. Jesus said, "I came down from heaven." And I was thinking this morning, what a glorious truth that is. Because if Jesus had not come, you and I would all be lost. He came from heaven. Notice, secondly, the purpose of Christmas. Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now, we might say, well, I think that the purpose of Christmas is that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And certainly that is true, isn't it? But from the perspective of Christ, His purpose was to do the will of the Father. And the glory of that is that the will of the Father was our salvation. But notice here, he puts the focus on God's will. He said, I came not to do mine own will, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me. And that was so in tune that everything that Christ did, He only did what the Father did. And everything that He said, He only said what the Father said. And so that the mission of Christ was focused in that I am here to do the will of the Father. And He was obedient to do that will no matter what the will of the Father called for. Now, let's look a little bit closer here. I have come down from heaven. I have stooped, I have humbled, I have condescended not to do my will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Well, those are the words of Christ, amen? And as Christ tells of His own account of Christmas, He says, this is why Christmas is. This is why I came. I came to do the will of the Father. I came to fulfill the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is this, that all that He hath given me, I should lose nothing, and they should be raised up on the last day. So according to Jesus, there is a people that the Father has given to Christ. And it is the desire and the will of the Father that these people that He has given to Christ would be raised up on the last day and would be with God forever. So you have eternity past, the giving of a people to Christ. You have eternity future in which they will be raised up and will live forever with God in heaven. And you have Christ who comes and inhabits time, given the responsibility to make sure that happens. Because it just doesn't happen. You with me? What have I come to do? Why have I left heaven? Why have I stooped to such a low estate? Why have I taken on flesh? Why have I been born as a baby? Why will I go to the cross? It is all for one reason, to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that those who He has given me will be raised up on the last day. So the purpose of Christmas is that Christ came to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is for Christ to make sure that those who He hath given Him will be raised up on the last day. Now, look at the promise of Christmas. Because at this point, there's a lot of straw men that are raised up and knocked down. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. He tells us, And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So, something happens in time. Do this. Something happens, Christ comes to do something that would assure that all of those in eternity past that have been given to Him by the Father will be raised up and live with Him forever in eternity future. And Christ, and only Christ, makes that true. Well, I think here there's the promise of assimilation. There is a people that have been given. There is a people that will be raised up. I don't know who these people are, do you? We're not told who these people are. We're not given their names. We're not given their location. But we know this, they're given life. And they're given life through the Son. Right? Given to Christ by the Father, raised up in the last day, living with Him forever in glory, but here given life through the work of Christ. Now notice what it says here. Everyone, which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I don't know who this people is, but I know this. It is the same people that are assimilated into God's family through the work of Christ. And he says here, everyone that seeth the Son, that's not physical seeing, that's spiritual seeing. And notice he says, who seeth the Son, capital S-O-N, everyone that sees and recognizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the Anointed One, that He is the Sent One, that He is the Savior of the world. Everyone that truly comes to that understanding and then believes on Him. Now, what is it that we have to believe? Well, we have to believe in the work of Jesus Christ for us. And I want to just sort of pin down the work of Christ in two ways. He says here, if we see the Son as the Son and believe on Him, then we have everlasting life. And that's true because Christ gives us life. And He does that in two ways. He does that by living a life that is perfect and without sin. Or we could say this, He provides for us a perfect righteousness that we cannot provide for ourselves. Because every one of us are sinners. Every one of us have fallen. Every one of us have come short. Every one of us have broken the law. And so every one of us have fallen short of that perfection. All of us have marks against us. And marks against us would be reasons for exclusion from a perfect heaven. But yet Christ came. Christ says, I came down from heaven. Why? To do the Father's will. What is the Father's will? To take all of those that He has given me and make sure they all rise up on the last day. And I must do that this way, by living a perfect life, keeping the law perfectly, and then imputing to them my righteousness so that they are righteous and perfect in the eyes of God in me. Because you can't do it yourself. And so He lives a life that we cannot live, and then He dies a death that gives us life. He imputes to us His righteousness, and then our sinfulness is imputed to Him, where on the cross the wrath of God is poured out on Him instead of us. It is the substitutionary death of Christ. And the only way that people who have been given to Him will be raised up on the last day is if Christ lives a perfect life for them and gives them His righteousness, and if He takes their sins and receives the wrath of God for them on the cross. So that these people that will be raised up on the last day will be raised up without sin and with perfect righteousness. None of that their work. All of that the work of Christ. And let me say this. Look at the text. He says nothing else except everyone that seeth the Son and everyone that believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is Christ plus nothing. It is Christ alone. Our salvation is solo Christos. It is Christ and only Christ. His work on our behalf is the only way that we can be saved. And if you trust in any other way, and if you trust in Christ plus something else, you will not be raised up in the last day for glory purposes. So, here's the deal. Eternity past, Jesus says, God the Father gave me a people. And what God the Father wants is that these people be raised up in the last day. That's His will. These people, these same people, all be raised up in the last day. And for that to happen, the Father sent me. And I came. And I lived perfectly. And I went to the cross. And I died. And I was rose from the dead so that that could happen. Without the coming of Christ, without the perfection of Christ, without the death of Christ, without the resurrection of Christ, we have no hope of being raised up. Now, I want to show you something here, and I'm done. I want to show you not only the promise of assimilation, how God brings these people into God's family, into adoption, into the family through the work of Christ. But I want you to see the promise of assurance here. It is a wonderful thing what Jesus says. He says back in 39 that the Father's will which has sent me is that all that He hath given me, I should lose nothing. So the work of Christ was done in such a way that all will be raised up in the last day. That what God's work does is assures that those who see Him and those who believe in Him will be raised up in the last day. You with me? That there will be none who truly trust Christ. There will be none who truly believe in Christ. There will be none who truly put their faith in Christ and will slip through the cracks or will be left behind or won't make it. Because the work of Christ was a work that ensured that all of those that the Father given Him would be raised up in the last day, and there would be none that would be lost. Amen? Then go back and look at verse number 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The assurance of God is that in Christ, if you come to Him in Christ, God will always accept you. He'll never drive you away. He'll never turn away from you. If you come to Him in Christ, if you come to Him in any other way, there's no assurance. But if you come to Him in Christ, He will never cast you out. There is assurance. Jesus says, I come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And the will of the Father that sent me is that all that He hath given me I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And my question is this. Well, let me make a statement and then a question. The reason why I love Christmas, and the reason why I am, I guess I would, you would probably say that I was overprotective of Christmas, is because of this. Christmas is not about anything other than God Himself coming down and doing the work for a people so that they may be raised up in the last day and go to heaven and spend eternity with God. It is the salvation of mankind that Jesus Christ comes. And it's my salvation. I have no hope except for Christmas. And every other gift pales in comparison to the gift we have in Christ. And my assurance today is not in me, it's in the Son. It's in the promises of the Father who said that if we see Him, if we believe on Him, that He will give us everlasting life, He will raise up in the last day, He will lose nothing, and He will not cast us out if we come to Him in Christ. The question I have for you is, have you come to Him in Christ alone? Have you simply relied and trusted your soul on the Son of God, His perfect life, and His sacrificial death for you? Have you trusted Him alone? Have you trusted Him only? If you have, rejoice. In Christ you have everlasting life. And when the last day comes, you shall be raised up and glorified and brought into the kingdom of God. But if not, you will be raised up for eternal damnation, eternal punishment. It is Christ alone. I think the awful sound is. When Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and then there are people that will say, "But wait, look what we have done." And what you do has no bearing on your salvation. It's what Christ has done. Do you see Him as God, and do you trust in Him completely and totally alone? Salvation has been brought to man when Jesus came down from heaven. And that's Christmas according to Christ. Would you stand with me?